Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show on Blog Talk Radio. Today's September 2nd. I'm your host, Lucinda, coming to you from hot, sunny Arizona with my co-host, Robert Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. We have an awesome show for you tonight. We have a guest, Mr. Tyrone Purty from Detroit, Michigan, who will join us in a few minutes, and we'll talk with him about his life growing up in Detroit. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know, again, that our book is out. We are having a book signing September 12th from 3 to 4 p.m. at Harlem World Books and Video in Detroit. You can get on our website at www.thestreetsdontliveyouback.ning.com, and you can get all the information, the address, and phone number. You can also get the rest of the websites and stores that you can purchase the book at on our website there. If you're listening and you'd like to call in tonight with a comment or just want to talk, call 347-826-7273, and we will get with you just as soon as possible. And how are you doing tonight, Boyd?
Oh, I'm great, Miss Lucinda. I'm just thankful to be here, and just glad that we got a great guest on the show tonight, a young man, Tyrone Purty, who I grew up with from kids, and he's definitely here to share his story, how the streets definitely don't love you back to these youths out here, you know? And right now, we're going to go to our song, and we're going to come back with Mr. Tyrone Purty.
Yeah, this The Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always, even when no one else cares, He's there for you.
Oh, keep your head up. Oh, hey, the streets don't love you back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. It's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home. The streets don't
love, love you.
This is Rob Boyd checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned by my father in this world, when I was abandoned by the man that I thought loved me, it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world, and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what He done for me, 'cause I listened to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love you back. I hear grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. It's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road.
Love you. Yeah, never
the streets
love
don't
you.
Love you back. I gotta do right before they call me
home. Love you. mind think. And I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink. And I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if he get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head. Another fork in the road, everyone got affidavits, show they codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now with no more private showers, it's all in the open. Better learn to be a man, fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, to day rooms, to mess halls and rec yards. You think you something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raised by the streets with no dad. But going life or death impression ain't gonna never change the past, cuz.
Yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Projects, my man Chickaria, Warner County Projects, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Hey, hey, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And that's me singing with my man LD in the background, track that I wrote, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we here with my main man, Tyrone Partee, tonight, and we just want to say how you doing tonight, Ms. Partee?
Hey, how's it going? How you doing, Rob?
We doing great tonight. We want to let you introduce yourself before we, you know, get going with you tonight.
Tyrone Partee, reside in Detroit, Michigan.
All right, we're going to start off, and the first thing I would like to ask you, Mr. Partee, when did you started running with the gang life, and what made you get involved with the gang life in Detroit, Michigan?
Well, you know, back then it was, where we come from, a generation, you know, we was like the second, third generation of the Bishops, you know what I'm saying? And it was just, we could, it was just a way of life for us, you know what I'm saying? We just come up and it was just something put on us automatically. We represented our generation of the gang, you know, and we all come up together and we done what we seen our predecessors do, basically, you know, so we all come up and done our thing.
So how was you when you first joined the Bishop gang, Mr. Partee?
I would say about 12, 13.
Mm-hmm. And when you was in the neighborhood and joined the gang, what truly enticed you to join that gang in your neighborhood? What was going on at that time in your life that you felt that you needed to join that type of atmosphere?
Well, like I said, we was just, you know, we just come up. It was just a way of life in the hood, you know what I'm saying? Our fellas before us was Bishops, and, you know, we come up generations of, you know, we Bishops too. You know, it was just like something just was handed down to us, you know, and we chose to represent it. Not everyone in the neighborhood chose to live that life, but we were some of the ones that did. You know?
Right. And I can feel that, you know what I mean? Because me and Mr. Partee is, you know, ex-gang members from the same gang, the Bishop gang off Van Eyck and Harper. And I was 10 years old when I joined the Bishop gang off Van Eyck and Harper. And when we was young, you know, Ty used to bring my mother down to the jailhouse to always come see about me. You know, I got to put that out there and showing mad
love. Oh,
for
sure, for sure.
You know, my mother didn't know how to drive. She didn't have no car. Every time I got in trouble, you know, he had moms down there, and, you know, we was doing our thing. Can you tell the people how it used to be in the neighborhood when we used to be walking through the neighborhood and how police, gang squad used to shake us down? You know, tell us a little bit about them type of incidents and things.
It was. You know, I remember it clear like yesterday. I mean, I remember. And I lived on a short block, you know. I remember not being able to get to the corner of my block without being stopped and frisked and shook down, you know, numerous of times. I mean, they knew us all by name, you know. It was called Gang Squad back then, and they wasn't nothing to play with. It's not like the gays here. I mean, we would be beat severe, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they would stop us and jump on us, and, you know, it was ridiculous. I mean, I think these kids these days, they don't even know the reality of it all, what we went through back then, as far as police and drive-by shootings and, you know, being shot and police jumping on you. And, you know, it was a whole different ball game to me back then. I think they getting off kind of lightly these days compared to what we had to go through.
And just talking about the drive-bys, I want to touch up on that subject. You know, when we was young and we were standing in front of Pache Stowe, where the bishop used to hang out at right there on St. Cyr, can you elaborate on that incident the night you had got shot when we was all standing out in front of the store?
Yeah, well, I recall it was an incident at the we had an incident earlier that day at the Burroughs Junior High School with the rival gang, you know. We was called the Chain Gang, and we was all standing out there, and car pulled up, and really just basically opened fire on us, you know, and myself and homeboy, his name Jock, and another guy named Leg was struck. I was struck in the back several times. I think Jock was struck in the upper chest area. And I recall, and Larry, he was really like an innocent bystander, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Jack and I, the rest of us was gang members, but he didn't even run with us like that, you know. He was just having to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I was struck several times, Jack was, and I mean, I was told I would never walk again, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I was young, and I hung in there, you know what I'm saying, and fortunately today I'm walking fine, you know. But it wasn't a pretty sight, I tell you. It was nothing glorious about it like on television, and you know, it was nothing like that. It was very hard, you know. Took months of rehab, and you know, I slowly got back into things, and you know, to this day, I still feel a little, you know, pains now and then or whatever. But, you know, that was a part of that life. You know, that's a part I had to pay, being that life. You know, fortunately, I made it. I survived. A whole lot of us didn't, you know.
Right. And you know, I just wanted to ask you, too, the night that you had got shot that night, you know, did you think in your mind that the streets didn't love you back, or was you still had your mind on gang banging or revenge with the situation that the other gang had shot you that night?
Oh, definitely my mind was on revenge, because, you know, that's the way we thought back then. That's the way we lived, you know. It was, I think, me and all the rest of our friends, gang members, they was all caught up on revenge. That's basically what it was, you know, because that's how we thought at the time.
Exactly. So can you tell us a few more incidents that it took place the day that I got out of jail, when you had took my mama and down there to get me, and I came and shot Demetrius that day? Can you elaborate on how did y'all feel about me getting out, what now, 7 hours and right back in?
Right. I recall that. I mean, it was wild back then. You know, I recall that you had just come home, and within hours was placed into another shooting situation. You know, I mean, it was crazy back then, man. You know, I mean, you know, we was, you know, sad that it had to happen like that, but, you know, that's the type of life we lived, Rob. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
I mean, we look back on it now, and it was just, you know, we look back at it now, we can laugh. You know, it's a whole lot of us can, you know, look back on situations and laugh, but I mean,
right.
It was just wild back then, you know. Here you go, you know, been months incarcerated, come home, within 7 hours, you right back in the, you know, in the joint, you know. So Yeah, right. It was crazy, man.
We weren't thinking about the streets didn't love you back then. We was thinking about as soon as we get out, I got to handle that business. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was strictly about back in them days, and like I tell cats now, you know, these cats are not loyal. You know, there's no loyalty within these cats, no honor, no nothing. But back in the old days when we was coming up, it was a lot of loyalty, a lot of honor. You know what I mean? Because I can recall, just like it was yesterday, when you did get shot that night, you know, we all stayed in front of your mama's house all night that night. You know what I mean? Watching your mama's house, you know? So I can remember all that like it was yesterday. You know what I mean? But what we would like these young cats to know is that, you know, it's a better way out here now. You know what I mean? It's no reason with all the technology and all the positive things that's going on out here nowadays. It's no reason that you have to be out here wanting to call yourself a gangbanger and want to call yourself a drug dealer, because there's no loyalty. There's no future. There's no Social Security benefits in that game at all. It's only two benefits in that game, and that's death or destruction.
Right.
And
right.
I would like to pass the mic over now to Miss Lucinda, my co-host, and she can ask Mr. Protee what she feels she needs to ask him.
Well, before we go on with that, we do have a caller, and if the caller would just hold on for just a minute, I'm going to do a short radio break, and then we will invite the caller on to talk.
Okay.
The money, the rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd. A must-read book. This book will be available online worldwide to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, and turning the mic over to Miss Lucinda.
Who we have a caller. Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show.
Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I'm calling from Alaska.
Wow.
Yeah. And I would like everybody to know on the radio, that's my cousin calling from Alaska. She's a Guyton, and she's calling from Alaska because she wanted to hear her cousin's radio show. So I told her she can call in and ask some questions if she needed to ask some questions to the caller tonight and get involved with our movement. So you've been listening to the show, cuz, and is there anything you would like to ask our guest tonight?
Well, there's some things I would like to tell your guest tonight. That I came from a hardcore city, Boston, Massachusetts, and where we stay at, it was really rough, that it was shooting almost practically almost every day. But sometimes we have to have that faith and strength to get out of the city, because the Lord really doesn't want us in the city. There's so much, you know, temptation and violence there that our younger generation now is being deceived in, and they don't know how to respond of, you know, the dominant forces that's going on. And where I came from, if it wasn't for me, for my mom teaching us about God, for me to get where I'm at now, I probably would still be there. But like I was just telling my cousin, he asked me a question, what made you move all the way to Alaska? And I said, the Lord had told me I need to get my 17-year-old out of the city, because he wasn't into drugs and gangbanging and, you know, alcohol. So I said, if I stay here on my last calling, he would get into that stuff and get into trouble, and he may not be here no longer. So I said I was going to do what I had to do to pick up just to try to save my 18-year-old when he got here. And that's what I did. But thank God we did, because, you know, there was many times that he could have got shot, and my younger ones as well. But those was my calling, my confirmation, telling me it was time for me to go. And I'm so sorry what had happened to you. But did that get a chance to make you look at life different? Did you ever get a chance to pick up the Holy Bible and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me and pulling me away from that? I mean, I just wanted to know, what is your name again?
Tyrone. My name's Tyrone.
Hi, Tyrone. Do you believe in God?
Sure, of course I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when all this occurred and happened, did you change your life and be able to get a chance to talk to the younger generation now to spread that word and that message to them that what they're doing, they need to stop the violence?
Oh, yeah, of course, I do, on a regular basis. Yeah, I talk to the youth a lot, and anyone that'll listen, I tell them, you know what I'm saying, that's no life, you know what I'm saying? My children, I preach it to them daily, you know what I'm saying? I don't want my children to grow up in any atmosphere like that. I work hard to prevent that, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know, I tell anyone that'll listen, you know, I don't want my children to make the same dumb mistakes that I made. I tell them all the time, I've made enough mistakes for everybody, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want them to grow up in anything like that. And I must say, and to this day, you know, the ones that we grew up with that was in that life, we are the ones that's here, we're still a very close-knit family, you know what I'm saying? We see each other, hang out daily. You know, everybody grew up. Most of us are very successful now. You know what I'm saying? We together, some of my brothers, you know what I'm saying? I get, you know, the Bibb family, you know, Bradford and Cootie Bibbs. You know what I'm saying? I give a shout out to them. We still tight, the Brown family, DB, Butch, Rob Barry, you know. All us still, I was with Team last night, you know what I'm saying? So everybody. You know, the ones that made it, we are doing our thing and positively, you know, successful and just living our life. You know, glad we still here to share our story and, you know, maybe guide some youth the right way in our own children.
Amen. That's the way that the Lord had made it, where you can get the chance to plant the seed into the younger generation, and it's up to the Lord to go ahead and spot it from there that they will understand, and maybe they will pull out before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get chances and some people don't. As for my daughter, she wanted to come to Alaska, but at the time in 2005, she was carrying my granddaughter, and I had the dream ahead of time, and I seen something happening ahead of time, and then my daughter had the dream and said, Ma, I just woke up and saw Wise with blood coming from out of his neck. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, you need to call him and ask him where he's at, and wherever he's at, he need to pull out. So they never made it to Alaska. He got shot in his neck, and now he's paralyzed from the shoulder down. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for my daughter, by the grace of God giving her the strength, she stuck with him, and they have a child together, and she didn't get a chance to go on this trip to Alaska to move here because now she's there in Boston taking care of him and my granddaughter. But sometimes we need to listen to our inner self, you know. When it's time to move on, you know.
Right.
We're here only for a short
mm-hmm.
time. And sometimes we're hard-headed and we end up taking that wrong path and something happened, you know. But by the grace of God, that an angel came down to his appearance because he was left there to die for an hour and he could have been brain dead or 6 feet under. But by the grace of God, he brought a stranger, which I call an angel, and lift him and took him to the hospital, and he was saved.
Amen. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's very fortunate. But I'm just hoping that will carry on through his mind, to not taking the evil side, saying, well, look what happened to me, and da-da-da-da, and I'm, like, trying to tell him, look, God saved you for a purpose,
mm-hmm.
and you must use that wisely. Don't take it to back where you came from. You might as well change that up and change your mind frame, your attitude, and the way you talk to people, and start living the way God wants you to live.
Amen.
You have a testimony that you need to spread out. for the rest of the generation, including his brother, because now his brother is following his footsteps. And I told him and his mom, they're from Ethiopia, and I told him, I said, look, I'm getting ready to bounce. I said, I'm poor. I said, but the Lord is going to provide if we have faith. So I got out there and sold all my stuff, and I came on faith. And I said, Lord, for the first time, I'm stepping out on faith. You the one created us. You the one created this world, the trees, the birds, the animals. I know that you got the power to do everything to try to get me to Alaska. And he did. And he did. And I tried to get them to come with me because I didn't want to see the same thing happen to him, to his younger brother and his sister. But all you can do is just tell the person, plant that seed, and keep praying that they will move on and, you know, start taking different paths than the wrong path.
Amen. So we definitely going to keep it moving. And I appreciate that, cuz, for your insight on that. And we're going to turn the mic over to Miss Lucinda, for she can ask Mr. Pertier a few questions of her own.
Well, just going back to, you know, when you got shot, can you tell us a little bit more about what happened after that and your recovery and how long that took and what you went through at that point?
It took months. You know, I was in rehab. You know, like I say, you know, they didn't ever think I was going to fully recover. You know, they always said I was never going to walk 100%. You know, again, and took months. I mean, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital for about 2-3 months, I believe. And you know, after that, I mean, while I was in there, it was news breaks every day about, you know, our gang shooting up the rival gang and vice versa. You know, it didn't stop there. Of course, you know, everybody was on retaliation. You know,
right.
And yeah, you know, so. You know, it was a lot of senseless lives taken, and you know, to this day we think back. You know, I can't even tell you what was we fighting about. You know what I'm saying? You know, we laugh about it now. You know, we still see some of the rival gang members. You know, at stores or whatever. You know, everybody. You know, we speak to each other or whatever. You know.
Everybody grew up, huh?
Excuse me.
Everybody grew up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the ones that made it, you know. Yeah, the ones that made it. Yeah, everybody grew up.
Right. So I know that you guys, as Rob and I talked about many times, you guys lost a lot of friends, and growing up you saw some friends turn on friends and family turn on family. And tell us a little bit about your point of view as far as the loyalty. And, you know, we hear that the gangs are loyal and it's your family and this and that, but oftentimes those people actually will turn on you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no doubt. Especially, I think, you know, I find that today's youth, I mean, you know, everybody's tough. You know, everybody's tough until they get down. Now, you know, I'm sure with today's youth, you know, it's all about everybody's tough, everybody's a gangster, you know what I'm saying, till they get in trouble, then it's all about who tell on who first, you know what I'm saying. It's, you know, these youth today, they don't, you know, I mean, it happened back then, it was some situations, but I think we had like a closer knit family than today's youth. You know, I see them, you know, get in trouble, even when I was incarcerated, you know, I used to see these young guys, they come in with all this time, you know, natural life without parole, 40 to 60 years, 20 to 40 years, you know. And they come in there and, they, you know, they think it's a game. You know, they think it's a game. All of them talk about their appeal when they get their appeal, you know. And when it hits them that there is no appeal, you're going to die in prison, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's a game, you know, And, you know, what these youths have to realize today is that every time you go out there and you carjack somebody, you rob, rape somebody or whatever, sooner or later you're going to get caught. And when you get up there in prison, you don't know whose relatives you done raped, robbed, killed, you know, because ain't no guns up there. You know what I'm saying? You come up there. I've seen them come up there. They tough, you know what I'm saying, before it's up with. They crying like babies. You know, they cry like babies till they get up to, you know, they done took somebody's life or, you know, whatever they done done. You know, what they fail to realize, you don't know who people is up there waiting for you when you do this stupid stuff on the street. You know, I seen it happen. I done seen people come up there and get butchered, you know, that stabbed and shanked, however you want to put it, you know, for something they done in the streets to somebody's people. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, so you have to think twice when you do that stupid, that ignorant stuff. You know, you don't never know who. When you go up to a person to rob them, you better think, I don't know who these people is. You know what I'm saying? Because when you get caught and they send you to prison, that person that you just killed might just have some people up in prison waiting for you.
Now, can you tell us how long did you spend in prison, Ty?
Oh, I did. I spent like 6 years. Yeah, I spent like 6 years in prison.
Okay, go ahead, Miss Lucinda. I just wanted to get that on the floor.
I was just saying that, you know, you think you have to watch your back out here, especially if you're out gangbanging and selling drugs and stuff. But, you know, it's just as bad in prison. The gangs are running the prisons, and, you know, they have people on the outside. Also, people have people on the inside, and the same thing happens in there. And they figure out a way to do what they got to do in there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And these youths, you see, they... All of them had behind the guns, you know what I'm saying? They want to go get the AKs they had behind the guns, but up there ain't no guns. So what you going to do then, you know? You know, it's a whole different ball game, really. Yeah.
So what kind of, you know, encouragement would you give these youths out here today, Ty, you know what I mean, from where you came from and to what you see goes on today? What kind of enlightenment would you give them today?
Education, you know what I'm saying? I would say, learn everything you can. Education, you know. I mean, you know, everybody wants the fast money. Nobody wants to work for it. Everybody wants to drive the Mercedes. Everybody wants to drive the Cadillacs, you know what I'm saying? But they see this glorious life from, the proceeds from selling drugs, you know what I'm saying? That's not the only way. That's not the only way out, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I still drive the Cadillacs. I still drive the Mercedes, you know what I'm saying? But I work for it. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't get mine through, drugs, you know, all that. I lived that life. I was tired of it, you know what I'm saying? I'm gainfully employed now. You know, I can buy whatever I want without the drugs and the killings and all that. You know what I'm saying? So I would say education get you something to fall back on because statistics show you tell me one major drug dealer that came off the east side of Detroit is not dead or incarcerated for life. So statistically, it shows that it's a no-win situation. You know what I'm
Amen.
Saying?
Amen, Mr. Pertee, because that's definitely what's in the book. You know what I mean? Drugs is the oldest failure in the history of mankind, you know?
Right.
Go ahead, Mr. Pertee.
I was just saying that fast money, you know, it comes and goes, and it's, you know, it is fast money, but it's not going to last you very long because you're either going to get shot, go to prison, and, you know, you're not going to have it for very long. You're not going to enjoy that nice car for very long.
Or end up being a drug user. End up
right.
using your own supply.
Right.
So it's three ways out.
And then work for it, then you end up having something that you can keep and enjoy.
Right. Not only that, like I tell people, you know, I know thousands of millionaires that's walking around the federal penitentiary right now. What good is it doing them? You know what I'm saying? I know thousands of millionaires that's walking around the federal penitentiary, you know, okay? I mean, what is it good for? They're getting a little commissary, whatever. All the millions don't mean nothing up there because you ain't, you know? Right.
Chill.
Right.
Can't be when you're buried 6 feet down either.
Right, exactly.
So it's not going to do you any good.
Right.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a great time tonight talking with Mr. Pertee about his life and his change. So when we get back from this radio break, we're going to talk a little bit more with Mr. Pertee about what really made him change his life. So we're going to go to a song and be right back with Mr. Pertee.
What's up?
This RB checking in, but the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
No, these streets, they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, so join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on. Track here, it's a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that can live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real Freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across the state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. Got he caught up in moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home with pressures. Are we all alone when we born? We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if we cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true is us, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. Lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
and
on.
And it's all be checking back in with you, like I said, it's that traffic knowledge. Let you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. That's another track, that's the remix of me and my man LD, letting you know that the streets will never love you back. And we back with my main man, Mr. Tyrone Pertee. And Mr. Pertee, we just wanted to ask you, what got to the major point in your life that made you change your life over from the drug life and the gang life?
You know, I think one major factor, Rob, was first of all, I got tired, man. You know what I'm saying? Just tired. It just wear you out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, one thing, you're not looking over your shoulder for the police. You're looking over your shoulder from the guys, you know, trying to take what you got. You're robbing you and whatever. You know what I'm saying? And just got really tired of that life, man. I couldn't. Another major factor was my children, man. I spent a great deal of time in prison. I missed a lot of my older children growing up due to being incarcerated. And I vowed, I had two other children, and I vowed that I would not, you know, see them grow up in prison. My children was raised, you know, my older children was raised coming to visit me in prison. You know what I'm saying? I missed a great time of their life. You know, and I vowed not to let my younger kids growing up in prison. You know what I'm saying? Come visit me, whatever. I didn't. It was they played a very important role in my life as well.
There you go. You know?
And while I'm talking about them, let me get a shout out to them: Tavion Pertee, Dejanay Pertee, and their beautiful mother Jacquees. Okay. Yeah, they had a lot to do with my changing my life as well, you know.
That's great. I'm definitely glad to hear that, Ty, you know, because you don't find most men that say, you know, their kids is a factor of changing their life, you know, because
right.
A lot of men is, you know, they can be with the woman, you know what I mean, and still ain't taking care of the family, you feel me?
Right.
Still ain't taking care of the kids, ain't taking care of the woman, ain't doing nothing, you know. So you got a lot of deadbeat cats out here that's just living deadbeat in their mind and in the world, you feel me? So that
right.
was a great thing, man, you know what I mean, that made you change your life and made you look at life in a different factor, you know what I mean? Because the family is very important, and a lot of people don't understand that out here nowadays. So I'm glad you made that great point, and I'm glad that the kids had a big role in you changing your life from the hustle world and from the gang world. And your time, you know, your 6 years of spending behind the walls, you know, because I remember just like it was yesterday, the day when you got out, I was right there to pick you up, you know what I mean, at
right.
the halfway house, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I used
right.
to be there every morning at 9 o'clock to scoop you up, you know what I mean?
Did. Right.
And take
yeah.
you to your mama house. So, you know, when you said that brought back a lot of memories, you feel me?
Right.
When you stepped out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, any other shout-outs you would like to give? And then I'm going to turn the mic over to Lucinda again.
Well, I just want, you know, give a shout-out to the guys who made it, you know, our older fellas, you know what I'm saying? Vic Tuck, you know what I'm saying? You know the crew, Rob. You know. Shout out to all them. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Out of mind. So many of us.
Right. So my mellows, you know what I'm saying? Who came along in the struggle, you know, my dogs, Rooster, Cootie B, Brad,
right.
you know what I'm saying? Everybody, we come a long way, baby, but we made it, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely,
you know?
Definitely. You know, because I'm blessed to even be on the phone with you. We ain't lucky, we blessed, because, you know, through the years, you know, I left and been gone 20 years because, you know, that's what really got me the notion to want to change my life, you know what I mean? It was my kids and my mama, you know, because, you
right.
know, like I tell anybody, man, I would have rather been dead than be a failure in front of my mama's eyesight because, you know firsthand on how my mama used to be out there looking for me all type of night and...
Right.
You know,
right.
trying to, you know, come get me out of jail
mm-hmm.
and you driving her down there to get me. So, you know, I sent my mama through a whole lot in my younger years, you know what I mean? So
right.
that's what really made me definitely want to change my life around, man, and leave them streets alone, you know? So thank
right.
God for all of that, you feel me? And I'm going to turn it over to Miss Lucinda.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that you kind of grew up the gangs, and I know that a lot of families, it's generation to generation. Were your parents involved in gangs, or obviously you grew up just kind of seeing it and knowing it, and then maybe even wanted to be a part of it because it looked so glamorous. But could you tell me a little bit about that?
No, my family, my father was a very hardworking man. You know, my mother, she took very good care of us, you know, doing the best she could, raising us. You know, my family was in no type of, you know, illegal activities or anything like that. No, it was us, me and my brother, Dino. We did enough for everybody, you know. family, you know.
For real. Hey, we can laugh now, but you know what I was just for the same time. You know that's for real, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No. Most of us, I can think back, most of us did have very good parents, you know what I'm saying, as far, you know, when I think back, Rob, from Cheese, Miss Corbin, Miss Scott, from, you know,
we
Scott
didn't come
Taylor.
From a bad household.
Right.
We just came from a bad neighborhood.
Nah, everybody had good things.
That was gang,
you know?
Infested. You know, the whole neighborhood was gang infested.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we had good parents, you know what I mean? But it's just the neighborhood was gang infested, and we grew up around, like Ty said, you know, we would see the older cats hanging out, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, we hanging out, and next thing you know, we running through the fields and looking at them do things. Next thing you know, we the bishops, you know what I mean?
And
10, 12 years old.
Right. I remember sitting on the porch, you know, seeing the big fellas, you know, sad, everybody coming by in they shop cars, you know what I'm saying? So we, you know, I'm like, look, I got to have me one of those, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't have to tell me, Ty. I grew up sitting on the porch watching y'all, you know what I'm saying? Later on, they became major hustlers, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah,
right.
So looking back over everything, you know, if you could have changed something when you were 12 years old or 13 or 14, what do you think that would be?
If I could have changed anything, well, I would have stayed in school. You know, like my mama begged me to do, you know what I'm saying? I would have stayed in school, got education, tried to read and learn everything I could get my hands on, you know what I'm saying? So I would have stayed in school, hopefully became a doctor, you know what I'm saying, lawyer, you know what I'm saying? You know, I would have changed all that, you know? If I had it to do all over again. But, you know, I can't, you know what I'm saying, I can't have no regrets, you know what I'm saying, because majority of us that's still around, we came out all right, we made it, you know, there's a whole lot of us didn't, like my friend, like right today, we still, you know, it's been over 30 years ago, we still close-knit, you know what I'm saying, we still hang out with each other, you know what I'm saying, we still there for each other, you know what I'm saying, we still a very close-knit family, you know,
right.
So, you know, the ones that survived, we made it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody doing their own thing, you know, and successfully, you know, positively.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody's...
And that's what I tried to, you know, I really didn't ever really kick that out to Lucinda and say that, but, you know, I just wanted you to tell her that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't going to really, you know, really tell her all of that, you know what I mean? But, you know, yeah,
right.
The Bishop crew, you know what I mean? We all grown in our late 40s, early 50s, but everybody's still tight, the ones that's living, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even though I've been gone 20 years, I've always stayed close to the ground with the clique, you know what I mean? And they always knew that I was doing something positive and a lot of things. And a lot of cats I hadn't seen in a lot of years, you know what I mean? But
right.
Always kept in touch with the ones that I seen when I came home and different things like that. But everybody, you know, that's grown and that got their head on tight, you know, regardless of what each other had did, you know, everybody's still on deck, you know. And I did see that, you know what I mean, when I came home
mm-hmm.
last year, you know what I mean, that everybody's still doing their thing. And, you know, everybody, you know, is waiting on me to come home September 12th, you know, like I told her, you know. The Bishop's definitely going to support because they know where we all come from, the ones that's living. And we definitely want to push this movement, like I was telling Ty, you know, me and you have a vision of building the board in Lucinda's, you know, learning center for the youths right there in my old neighborhood, Van Lacken Harbor, where I come from, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I would like for you to touch up on that a little bit, Lucinda.
Well, our movement, what we're trying to do is educate the youth about the dangers of gang violence and drugs and let them know that there are alternatives out there. Let them know how important education is, and, you know, with all that knowledge comes power because, you know, you're able to use your mind and do things better for yourself. We have also a new TV reality show
that is starting next week in Cincinnati, and we're hoping to get it syndicated nationally. But it's called Change, and we're going to have people on the show that have lived the, you know, it's going to be real stories, real people, people that live the street life, the gang thug, drug life, and how they've changed their life and what they're doing now. That show will air on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and you can look on our website for the channels for that. You know, we're just trying to educate people through that show, through the radio show, and through our website. We'll be going out and actually giving talks, talking to colleges, high schools, junior highs, churches, whoever will let us come in and talk, and we'll bring whoever we can, whoever wants to come in and share their life, you know, their history, you know, how it was in the streets and how it's really not a good life. And so, you know, we're just trying to use people and examples and just trying to touch the young kids now, because it just seems like nowadays they don't have, you know, much respect or, you know, values or morals or, you know, things that I think we had a lot more of growing up. So, you know, it's just about teaching them, you know, to respect life, to stop the violence, to, you know, put the guns down and don't be so quick to pull that trigger, because, you know, it doesn't make you a gangster just because you're holding a gun and you can shoot it, you know.
Well, amen. Amen. Because you got weak guys out here that soft as butter that got a gun bigger than them, but deep down inside they soft as cream puff, you know what I mean? Like
right.
Brad explained, you know, when you hit the gates, baby, you know what I mean? There's no guns. There's none of that, and you know, you got to know somebody to have a shank, so you just can't run up in there and say, oh, I need one of them, my brother, you know what I mean? So, you know, you got to be very, very careful out here, young people, on who you mess with or who you jump up to rob or who you jump up to shoot. You got to be very careful, and if you can jump up and try to shoot and rob people, you can jump up in somebody's classroom and try to get some of that knowledge that'll make you live a little bit longer, you know what I mean? So that's what you need to be jumping up into somebody's classroom and getting all the knowledge you can, because knowledge is the key in the drug slash thug life slash gang life. That's the oldest failure in history of mankind, my people. So I really want y'all to understand that is all failure. You know what I mean? It's no retirement fund at the end of that journey. There's none of that. You know, God only keep his soldiers who's done went through that alive to tell their story. And through this vision of mine and Lucinda's, the streets don't love you back. And that is our mission and that is our movement. And that was my purpose for reaching out to my old neighborhood and to a lot of my old ex-game banger homies to let them spread their word and their knowledge as well on why they're here. And it's by the grace of God, you know. So I want to give a special shout out, you know what I mean, to the Bishop crew, everybody. It's so many of us, and with so many of us, because we was linked in so many different neighborhoods, and everybody used to branch off and move out the hood and start their own Bishop crew up. So, you know, it was
right.
So many of them,
right.
You know what I mean? I can't even say everybody's name, but much love to everybody, you know what I mean? And
right.
Rest in peace to all the ones that's gone, you know, Cheese, Scott, Warren, you know what I mean, and Lil Dino.
Yeah,
you know
I was about to say my nephew, Boo Percy, Lorenzo Percy, you know.
Everybody, you know what I mean, and much love, you dig. And any more shout-outs, Ty, you got to say before we go to another break and back?
Well, no, I just want, you know, our homies, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, without them doing what they did, we wouldn't be able to tell our story, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, want to make sure that, you know, the older generation, they get their props in there too, you know what I'm saying? I got to give a shout out to Vic Tucker and Mr. Fred Pierce. That's my guy, you know what I'm saying? You know, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to all those fellas, man. You know,
all those. And my man Bird, you know what I mean? Got to give a shout out to one of the oldest fellas in the game, Bird, you know what I mean? Bird been down for a lot of years now, since the early 70s, and Bird is doing natural life in prison, and he was one of the original bishops, you know what I mean, big bishops, and, you know, we're giving him a much love shout out up there as well, you know what I mean, and they may God bless him as well, you know what I mean, and through all things that he's done went through the years, so we're just sending out much love to the Rucker family, period, with that there, you know, and the loss of Gino, in the loss of Charles Rucker, their brother. So we just sending out much love and respect as well to that and to all the loved ones that's been lost through the gang violence. You know, we're sending out much respect and love to everybody's family. And anything you have to say, Miss Lucinda, before you break?
I found something on the internet the other day that was kind of interesting. Older gang members always recruit younger gang members in their early teens, and especially now, I think it's just their loophole to be able to, get the drugs from here to there, and, you know, you pay the kids a little bit of money, and they do it for you. But in Illinois, they have a new law now that it's a felony if you recruit a gang member that's under 18. So now it's a felony if you recruit somebody under 18 for any illegal activity. So that's one state out of the United States. And, you know, they're still going to have to figure out how they're going to enforce that, but at least maybe it's a start that they're not, recruiting these young kids, because the young kids don't really know what they're doing. And, you know, they're carrying drugs and guns and money, and they're just doing what they're told because they're scared or, you know, they're made to do it or they're forced to do it. You know, and some of them just do it because they like the money. So.
Exactly. And some do it because they have no guidance, and a lot of them don't even know what they're doing out there nowadays. There's no construction in that at all nowadays. You know, people just handing you stuff, and you out there doing it. You know what I mean? That's where the loyalty and all the honor was cut out a lot of years ago, you know what I mean, with this new generation. You know, they just run wild and run rapid, you know what I mean? And they would just shoot and disrespect their own mama, their own daddy, their own cousin. They just very disrespectful in this generation, period.
And that was the difference between us and them, Rob. You know what I'm saying?
We respected our mama and everybody.
Right.
We didn't care what we did. When mom spoke, we listened, you know what I mean?
Right, and anybody else the mother,
sleep,
you know what I'm saying? Right.
When mom went to sleep, then we crawled out the window.
Right, you know what I'm saying? And they just go shooting. I mean, it's, you know, innocent people can get killed or whatever, but they, you know, they just, we didn't, you know, when we had a problem with somebody, we knew who we had the problem with, we took care of the problem, you know?
These kids
just go shoot everybody, killing babies, killing kids, you know what I'm saying? That's senseless, man.
Yes.
That's crazy, you know.
And now you got another problem and a whole lot of more problems now that done went off like that, you know. So they definitely don't understand, you know what I mean. And I want to definitely just tell everyone, go get that book, All My People in Detroit, Michigan. Definitely go get that book. It's a must-read book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, at my man Ice Store at Harlem World Books and Videos in the Greenfield Plaza. Over there, go cop that. It's a must-read book to enlighten these youths that the streets will never love them back. And they will really learn through this book and reading this book that gang banging, drug selling, trying to be a thug is the oldest failure in mankind. You know, we want you to fail in somebody's classroom, fall up in there, and learn some good knowledge. And that right there, the feds can't take that from you. The DEA can't take that from you. Only thing they can take from you is this gang life and this drug selling. They can sure take that from you. And two things will
happen. Take your life from you.
Your
know
life,
what I'm
and you will do natural life in prison. So there are two things they can take. But knowledge, they can't take it from you. You feel me? So try to get your head on tight and get your groove on with that knowledge. Anything else, Ms. Lucinda, before we...
Well, I just want to remind everybody that our website is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. You can find out all the information about all of our shows and everything that we're doing on that website. You can become a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And, you know, we're just looking for people that are willing to help out in their own communities and just be a part of the movement and to be able to educate the youth and the adults, you know, whoever wants to hear the message, but just to let them know that there's a better way than the gang banging and the drug dealing and the hustling and the prostitution and everything that's going on in the streets out there still today. We want to remind you that we're on every Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Pacific time, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. And remember to
take responsibility for your choices and actions. And again, as we stress every week, the most important thing is to get an education so that you have that knowledge and power. And again, the book signing is September 12th in Detroit at Harlan Books and Video from 3 to 4 p.m. And we look forward to seeing you there. And until next week, we will wish you a good week, and we will go out with a song, In Need of a Change. Good night.
Yeah. LD. You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
Like a book, as I turn another page, as the lights go down, I walk across the stage, rub the law full up, but more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay, and somehow I know it is, all I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit, keep my chin to the sky when my back's against the wall, fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw, and still stand tall in the belly of the beast, be afraid of nothing in this world has got to be, sometimes I still slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I leave the sheet.
Jealous of others. Do for your damn self.